association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 109, and we have Kirby.
Hello.
Robert.
Hello.
Reese.
Hello.
And making this podcast a true international event, bringing the worlds of Doctor Who fans together, we have from Russia and the Voice of Gallifrey podcast, Paul and Roman.
Hello.
Hello. We're here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, guys. I'm so glad to be here. Oh, it's very, you know, great stuff.
Good.
To talk with proper Englishmen, English podcasters.
Wow,
that's so funny.
And American ones.
It's great to be here and talk to our colleagues from the other countries.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's going to be quite interesting, because being from Russia, how did you get into Doctor Who?
Oh, it was 2008. It was very boring summer, very boring day, and just turned on my TV and... what did I see? Some man with a plastic hand in his hand, proper hand.
Yeah.
Ran away from some blondie. My first thought was, you know, some... I don't know. I can't say it was likely to me for the first time I saw it. So I turned it off and forgot. But then I... found Doctor Who one more time, and it was The Girl in the Fireplace.
Oh, right, that's good. We're doing that one today.
Oh. Yes, and I'm not joking, it was this story. Great story, I still like it. I found the moment when the Doctor breaks the mirror on the horse.
Yeah.
It was great.
Surreal?
Yeah. Kind of surreal.
Yeah.
And then I just watched the story to the end and saw the trailer to the next episode. And after that, I'm a huge fan of Doctor Who.
So much so you've got a podcast.
Yes. I started to make it in 2011.
Yeah. And how's it doing then, your podcast?
Well, just... I like to bring information to the people...
Yeah,
I always want to bring it in some fun, entertaining form.
Yeah, we've struggled with that one when we do it.
Wait.
Still trying after 108 goes.
Speak for yourself.
So, is there a big fan base for Doctor Who in Russia?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I agree with Paul. Yeah. According to... account of the Doctor Who fans in one fan group in the social network is at least 40,000 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Do any of the actors or stars ever go over to do events in Russia?
No.
No.
No, it wasn't.
That's a shame. I think they should with a fan base like that.
Are there any conventions yet?
Special Doctor Who conventions, no. Just sci-fi conventions,
yes.
Like StarCon. Mm.
Yeah.
There was Doctor Who fans who making the costumes. The
yeah.
TARDIS, the Doctor, and other.
Yeah, as much like it is in America, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
Here.
I'm just fascinated to hear how widespread the fan base is getting now, because I mean, obviously when it was the classic series it was very sort of limited to Australia, Britain and America really, and obviously mainly in the UK, but since the new Who series has come about, it's just sort of blown up. It's just amazing. It's, I know obviously when I examine the Google Maps on how this show is being downloaded around the world, it's popping up in all sorts of remote places, so it's fantastic.
Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
What happened?
Alicia's computer's playing up.
Hello?
Hello.
Is there some problems?
Problems. Basically, as I was just saying, my daughter's computer, the machine I use for Skyping,
It's the power cable's held together with sticky tape, and it just disconnected itself.
It's Doctor Who.
It powered down the computer in the middle of
in the middle of the most interesting thing I've ever said.
Yeah,
on the podcast. I think Reese thought it was his end, because he seems to have completely disappeared from the Skype. Unless I'm very much oh, he is there.
No, he's still on.
Here we go. Right.
There he is. No, wait.
No, not there. He's nearly there.
Ringing.
It was really funny when I was listening to that, because I think it was you, Kirby. It sounded really, really surreal. Your voice went all. Blah, 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 and then it went.
You went underwater.
Did I? Okay. Well, then. So, while we still have a connection, Robert, how would you like to be for do for the first time ever the top 30 Doctor Who podcast charts?
Oh, my.
Well, this is going to be fun. Okay.
Cue the music.
This week's top 30 Doctor Who podcast is number 30. We have a re-entry for Fast Return Switch. At number 29, we have a re-entry for the Geek Syndicate. That's the Geek Syndicate, not the Greek Syndicate. Number 28, we have a re-entry for the podcast that never ends. So they must have a big hard drive. Number 27, a re-entry for the voice of Gallifrey from Russia.
Oh, that's us.
Hello again.
Number 26, up 3, we have the Cultdom Collective. Number 25, we have a new entry for the Gallifrey Doctor Who podcast. And a number 24, we have a new one called the Preachers Podcast. And number 22, up 5, we have Under the Miniscope. So, some of you doing a bit of examination in the Carnival of Musters there.
Yes. Yeah, I know the guys who do the Preachers Podcast.
Really?
Yeah, they're based out of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
What a great name for a place that is.
Yep. Isn't there a song?
There is, but we're not going to sing that. We're going to get on with the charts.
At number 22, that is, we have a re-entry for Tim's Take On. Not Take On Me, that's just Tim's Take On. At 21, up.
Race!
Sorry.
Something to look forward to there with the future time line.
Hang on. What number was that one?
That was number 21, and that's up 6.
Yeah, right.
It's doing a bit better. And 20, we have a re-entry for Drunken Time Travel. At 19, we have a re-entry for the Untempered Schism. And number 18, up 5, the Sonic Toolbox. Should have a sound effect for that. At number 17, up 3, we have Travelling the Vortex. At number 16, we have a re-entry for the Time Vault. It's where people break in to steal time. At number 15, we have a re-entry for the Happiness Patrol. Number 14, up 3, we have Earth Station 1.
You need to redo that with a longer pause.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Ben will get cross.
Okay, at number 15, we have free entry for the app. Penis Patrol.
And better. And
at 14, up 3, we have Earth Station 1, calling Earth Station 1. Number 13, we have a re-entry for
I know
Waffle
those guys too.
Yes, I know you do. The Waffle On Podcast.
Is that where they eat waffles?
No, get on with it.
Okay, number 12. We have up 1, Staggering Stories.
Yay.
And my dinner is just being delivered to me from my wife.
Oh, now we're going to get ears full of food.
Pizza!
And not waffles.
No, sausages and rissoles.
Don't swear on my show. Oh, rissoles, sorry.
Oh dear.
Carry on.
Apologize. Number 11 down 2 for Mostly Harmless Cutaway. And at number 10, we have a re-entry for the Doctor Who cast. At number 9, down 1, I don't know about this, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay. Oh,
yay.
Yay.
Does that mean there are 8 podcasts more listened to than ours? I mean, I can't believe that.
You're surprised?
There's probably more, but it's only 8 that are actually with the Doctor Who podcast line. So please continue.
Number 8, we have a re-entry for Adventures in Time, Space and Music. Hello, Dr. Phil.
Yay.
And number 7, we have a re-entry for the Omega podcast, or do they call it Omega podcast? Omega.
Let's ask Wendell.
There you go.
The Omega podcast.
Thank you very much, Wendell, for that. It just popped in especially just to record that bit for us. Thank you very much. Number 6, up 1 for the Memory Cheats. Number 5, up 6, Doctor Who. Who's he?
No idea.
I don't know.
Who is he? Yeah, they keep asking that question.
Well, that's your point of the series, though, isn't it? Carry on.
Number 4, up 2 for Impossible Podcasts. I don't know what they're doing there if they're impossible.
Mm.
And number 3, we have a non-mover for the DWO Who cast. Number 2, down 1. Oh, for the Doctor Who podcast. Very original name, that. Number 1, we have a re-entry for Radio Free Scaro.
Thank you, Robert. That was this week's charts. I got some audio feedback, funny enough. It goes like this.
You have a message connecting you now.
This is Jim the Fish calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Congratulations to Reese on his award for outstanding contribution to podcasting. Commiserations to all those who didn't win this time. Right now, I'm at the Galactic Subspace Awards. Let's take a listen to what's happening.
The nominations for the Podcast Saboteur of the Year Award are as follows. For Breaking Adam's Laptop, Debbie. For Interrupting Ben's Top 30 Rundown, Robert. For Disrupting the Podcast with its Chiming, The Clock. And for Eating Pizza and General Mayhem, Alicia. And the winner is Alicia.
She will be so happy.
Alicia can't be here to accept this award.
No, she can't.
So, to collect it on her behalf, here's the audio feedback saboteur, Natasha.
Well, what can I say? Alicia is a legend in podcast saboteuring. Oh, I have to check my MSN Facebook. This is important. Don't take long.
It looks like that's all from the Galactic Subspace Awards for this year. So, until the next time, this is Jim the Fish and Natasha, the great award ceremony saboteur, signing out.
Bye.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim the Fish, for another magnificent piece of audio.
That was mad.
Madness.
Alicia will be absolutely... Well, you won't, but she'll take it seriously and it will go to her head. So I'm not quite sure I'm going to tell her about that particular award.
May I make a correction? I don't know these people behind the
Preacher's
Podcast.
This is amazing! We've actually got in 17 minutes into the show and you're making a correction. It's your own correction.
Well, I mistook them for someone else.
But there was another correction, wasn't there, last week? That I didn't put in the show.
Well, you didn't put it in the show. So it
no.
Matter.
So you don't want me to mention it now, then?
Well, you could.
Okay, I won't then, Cody.
I don't know why I know why I mix these people up, because it's 5:18 in the morning.
Right then, Reese.
Last week.
Reese.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I've given you this option. Either I play the audio that Sandro sent me now to you all, or I dub it over later on as a sort of commercial break. What would you like me to do?
Dub it over later on.
Hello and welcome to this, the first in a long, 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 long line of improbable podcast.
Don't get too carried away.
Hopefully a long, long line. May I introduce myself, first of all, definitely first. Sundro JF joining me today. I've got Josh G.
Hello.
And Reese Parton.
Hiya.
And we are one short because she's currently doing something and should join us halfway through the conversation. Yeah, this is basically... I wouldn't call this an episode in the continuity, if that's how you spit. Yeah. The timeline of the show, this won't be part of it, but it definitely is going to be something for the listeners to listen to before the show actually gets released, if you understand what I'm saying, because I do not.
Me either.
yeah, so, rambling on. We are here to talk about what we think about Doctor Who.
Obviously we don't think much.
yeah, Doctor Who is the BBC science fiction program that's been going for almost 49 years.
Yes.
And it is... Well, Reese, why don't you tell us what it's about?
Well, the very condensed version of the show is that it's about a travelling man who can change his face, who travels around in time and space in a blue police box that's bigger on the inside than the outside.
Hmm.
That's a very condensed version.
Yes.
Mustn't forget the assistants.
Well, yes, he generally travels around with a friend who's generally quite young, female, and good-looking. yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and it's... Why do we like it? That's actually, I've never thought about it before. Why do I like Doctor Who?
The imagination in it?
Yeah. It's science fiction, and I guess we all love science fiction.
Mm.
And it's just a good show. That's yeah.
I like the way it aims for the entire family. It's got little jokes in there for the younger kids and little spooky monsters that might give them nightmares or that they'll remember. But it's also got things in there for the adults, like fantastic acting and great storytelling and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And deep thinking.
Mm.
With Stephen Moffat now, yes, definitely. But that's a conversation argument or...
argument.
For another day.
Yes, we could be here for hours.
So what were we talking about again? We're talking about Doctor Who, weren't we?
I'm not sure.
Yes, we were.
Okay. Yes, Doctor Who. Let's change the subject now, so...
Oops.
Let's talk about...
Microphones.
Let's talk about microphones. Alright, that was a very interesting subject. Reese, do you play Skyrim?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Josh and I could have had a really good geek out about that then.
Go on, but... I'll just sit quietly.
Okay. Yes, Skyrim. It's a game where you're a knight.
No.
You can do... Well, not knight, you're...
Called Dragonborn.
Yeah, you're a Dragonborn, and you can basically do whatever you want in a big world. And you can join factions. There's the good factions and the bad factions, and there's different cities. And you can hunt people down in the cities and kill them and get a bounty, and that city, but not in the... Oh!
This is just what Sandra likes doing.
Yes. yes, Lauren. Oh. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here is Lauren!
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm wearing a headset microphone. Don't know how we're going to share this. Hmm?
Alright, sorry, Lauren.
Okay, we're recording. We're currently...
It's 5 to 6, not 5 to 7.
Okay. You're all hearing this, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The mum, we're recording on Skype at the moment. I'll go get him.
You can stop.
Nobody can hear you currently, so...
Well, I'm pleased to say the whole show is going to be outtakes so far.
Stop.
Who's hitting their keyboard?
Hello!
Hi guys, how's it
going? Not me.
Is it working? Is it off or is it like before?
Come on, fail or no fail.
Now it's all quiet again.
Oh dear.
Can you hear me?
Nah, okay, I'll do that then.
And you're going to make a note to pull out my thing about...
Beg your pardon? Pull out your thing?
Why would he do that? That's just disgusting.
Me?
Just because Ben's not here doesn't mean that we have to compete for innuendo. Right.
I thought that was my job.
Right. Yeah, no, well, yeah, I suppose that is really, actually. Captain Innuendo.
Captain Innuendo.
Yeah, the reason I made the mistake last week was because it was 5:20 in the morning, too.
Oh, right. You're always going to use that excuse, aren't you?
Yes.
So, are you keeping up with this, Roman?
What?
Are you keeping up with this?
You know, I just not completely understand.
No, that what's doesn't happening. Surprise me, because I don't understand what's
we
happening.
We don't either.
Either.
Yeah.
So basically, you are keeping up if you don't understand what's going on.
Okay.
Okay, right then. Before we go on to other things, because there wasn't any other feedback, I don't think Ian sent anything in this week.
What, Ian? What's wrong with you?
What? You're right.
I hope so. So nothing from Ian this week, and that's it for feedback. But thanks anyway, Jim the Fish. Maybe it's because I haven't been giving out the feedback address. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, listeners. Yes, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Now,
listeners.
That's got me thinking about something that happened between this week and last week. Our sponsors, that's www.whone.co.uk. That's Who Won. Yeah, our sponsors.
Would that be whoone.co.uk?
Yeah, I just said that. They have.
Who are our sponsors?
Yeah, can I get a word in? They have.
Somebody made a mistake. Somebody made a mistake last
week.
Yes,
I noticed that.
Calling it whone instead of whone.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you for that. But anyway, they have announced that they're going to sponsor us again for a further 6 months, so which will then take 2 years of sponsorship that we've had from Who Won.
Excellent.
So, yes. Brilliant website if you want to buy Doctor Who stuff. Right, how about we talk about the girl in the fireplace? Anybody disagreeing with that?
No.
No.
I have notes.
I do too.
Hi, girl.
Old-fashioned notes printed on paper because I can't risk using the computer in case it slows it down.
Paper?
Yeah, paper. Have you heard of that stuff? Paper.
Yes.
Exterminate.
Yeah, here we go. Right. This is Girl in the Fireplace, and a shame Ben's not here, because it's written by Mr. Stephen Moffat.
I know.
Don't worry, I can hold up the hate.
Yeah, ooh. All right, right. It starts off, they're under attack.
Me too, sort of.
This is the French people. They're under attack. And then Renette.
The French people.
Well, this is the clock is broken, he is coming.
Penis patrol.
Pardon? Stop being naughty.
Penis patrol.
What's that got to do with it?
It said sounds like a Frenchman.
Oh. French.
Oh, I found out which podcast I was
Okay then, Herbie.
The Chattanooga based one is the oncoming storm. I don't
Thank
know why
you.
I picked that up.
Right.
Never mind. It doesn't matter though. Anyway, they're under attack. I said that, but I'm not going to say it again. And then they
Are
land.
They under attack?
Yes. The TARDIS lands on a spaceship, and Mickey goes, "Brilliant! I've got a spaceship on my first go."
Did you notice
missed anything?
Nice, though?
That's like the first two lines.
Yeah.
What?
Well, the establishing shot of the sky, it looks like we're in space, and then they pan down to the palace. And when they, after the titles, then they, the establishing shot of the spaceship. Well, first of all, it shows you from a lower angle looking up. I just thought they did that nice.
Yes, very nice indeed. Good. Yes. So they're on this spaceship. They're in the 51st century. Did I get that bit right?
Yes, yep. And again, with the 51st century. What's with the 51st century?
I don't know. What's with the 51st century?
Well, the Doctor seems to be... In modern era Doctor Who tends to deal a lot with future stories in the 51st century. That's where... that's where Captain Jack is from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where...
Silence in the Library.
New York is from, and all that stuff.
Do you know what I think it might be? I think it was just a plan for a future story arc that never came to be because Russell T. Davis left.
Maybe.
No, because Stephen Moffat uses it in Time of Angels.
Yes, exactly.
Well, okay, I don't know. Obviously, they got they're a bit stuck on the 51st century for some reason.
Exactly. Yeah, it seems to be... It was referenced in both of the last two series.
Oh. Maybe it's a problem with the TARDIS. Anyway. Back to
it's just magic of the numbers.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yep.
Rose has a slight...
Good news 42.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Rose has a slight wave to her hair. I wouldn't call it a perm, because obviously the next story, it's all straight again. So, I thought that was quite an important part of the story.
Why did you notice that?
Because...
Who wouldn't notice that? Who wouldn't be staring? I mean, look at Billy Piper.
I just noticed that her hair was waving. You noticed other things.
I bet you were.
Anyways, they smell...
Tight shirt, was it?
Shush. They smell Sunday roast, which obviously later on we discover is a bit yucky. They smell Sunday roast and find an 18th century French fireplace with a little girl on the other side. And obviously we find out she's called Renette, and it's in 1720... For God's sake!
Pedantic.
Yeah, obviously. What?
Yes, you are.
Let me bring up the entry for Madame de Pompadour. She was nicknamed Renette, Little Queen, by her mother 2 years after.
That is the world's most pedantic moment. There we go.
Cancel out.
Grief. I think it's called artistic license, but Ben would just call it Stephen Moffat.
She later claimed that at the age of 9, she was taken by her mother to a fortune teller and told she would someday reign over the heart of a king. And she's 7 in that scene.
Okay. Never mind.
I don't think the actress, I don't think the little girl actress was 7. She looked
Look older. That's very true. Anyway, right. So, what did I get up to? Go on then. Might as well do.
Well, when Rose and Mickey are looking outside the window, Mickey says, "It's so realistic." I was just wondering whether they're having a go at special effects or something.
Yes,
but
indeed.
Also, when they're looking in the fireplace, Renette says, "What are you doing in my fireplace?" Doc says, "Oh, it's just a routine fire check." And he says, "August is rubbish, though. Stay indoors." Okay, that's all for now. Thanks for your help. Hope you enjoy the rest of the fire. Night, night.
And other people on the internet have looked to find out what happened in August. And nothing, really.
That's why it's terrible.
Does it matter? It's only a blimmin' sort of fictional thingamajig.
I thought it may have been drinking wine by the doctor.
Oh.
And that matters.
Which doesn't matter at all.
I thought it may have something to do with the French Revolution. Yeah, I don't know.
It does rather...
No, that didn't happen then.
No, I was just... You know, my mind was wandering just like Kirby's was.
Okay. No.
That's why we're pedantic.
Evidently. Can I resume my notes, please?
Yes. Yep.
Thank you. Right.
Yes, of course.
Right. So, a French girl on the other side. 1727. Was that the right year?
Yeah. No, 29. 27.
Oh, thank you. The TARDIS translates.
29, then it would be a. Then we could call her Renette.
Thank you, Kirby. Right. Anyway, so Mickey wonders why. He says they're in France, and Mickey gets confused because he thinks they're all speaking in English. Obviously, Rose then explains that the TARDIS translates for you, and he says, "Even French?" Which I thought was really funny.
But it was interesting that the doctor then says, "Oh, she's speaking perfect French." He obviously, through the TARDIS, actually hears the French.
Yes, that's what I just said, wasn't it? No?
No.
Never mind. Anyway, Roman and Paul, I have to ask, when you watch Doctor Who, do you watch it with subtitles, or do you watch it with Russian actors dubbing over the voices, or do you watch it as we see it?
Well, I for the first time, I watched it with a Russian dub. Then I did with the subtitles. Now I can watch it on the BBC One in the night where it broadcasted with no subtitles and no dub.
With me.
Yeah, and Paul with me.
Right.
We're making a conference in Skype with several people and watched it.
Yeah.
Well, like a car, what do they call it? That's what a Radio Free Scaro do. Commentary. Oh. Or as Robert would say, commentary.
Commentary.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's have it spelt. Commentary.
Okay. Come on, Terry, get a move on. Anyway, the doctor finds...
Ben, help.
The doctor finds... Ben, you be quiet. The doctor finds a control on the fireplace, rotates, and taking him in to see Rinette. Months later, this was, obviously, which is always quite interesting. Yeah, he hears ticking. I have jumped a bit here because I didn't really think that the conversation particularly interesting. But he hears ticking, really? And the clock's broken, but he can hear his ticking. And
speaking of pedantic.
Oh, God, here we go. Yes?
In the InVision commentary.
Yes?
The InVision commentary has... Huh?
No, I saw that today, too. Yeah.
Yeah, the David Tennant is one of the people in the commentary.
Pedantic.
And he points out that he was so pedantic when they were filming. Mm. They helped make sure that the broken clock face was showing at the right time. And apparently, if you are extremely pedantic, which I wasn't when I watched this...
What's wrong with you, Kirby? Are you okay?
I finished my second watch, my most recent watching of this, not 6 hours ago. So
they told you didn't get much sleep,
Royce. How much sleep are you getting?
I had five and a half hours sleep last night because I was watching this program, and then I was creating wedding DVDs right the way to 12:30, and then Deb got me at 5:30. So that's less than that. 5 hours sleep.
You know, when you said that, I could actually hear the spelling of program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E, in your voice.
Aye?
The way program spelled different.
The British spelling.
Okay.
Instead of one M.
Right, am I continuing with my notes, or have you...
Yes.
All right. Okay,
resume your story.
Thank you very much. so there's he looks under the bed, which is quite a spooky moment, and this sort of clockwork man with a spooky clown-type mask jumps up, and a strange wig.
Another Moffat... That's a Moffat example of playing on kids' fears again, what's under the bed.
He's got a strange...
He likes doing that.
He's got a strange mind, doesn't he?
Even now, jump during that scene.
You jump.
Even though I know it's there. Yeah.
Do you know why I didn't jump? Because I was busy writing notes. So I looked away from the screen. And I was writing the notes as that happened. My notes actually say, under the bed, there is a clockwork man. It wants Rinette, but not yet, as she's incomplete. The Doctor rotates the fireplace back to the spaceship, taking the robot with him, and puts it out of action by a fireplace. Now, how's he put it out of action? Fire extinguisher. That should actually say extinguisher, but for some reason it's come out as place. I don't know why.
Did you notice? Because
it's the only fireplace.
Hello.
He
freezes it with the fire extinguisher. and it's standing right to a fire, which does not go out.
All right, okay. Well done. God. What have I put down? My next note is, what is it? This is what the next line is. What is it? And it says, don't go looking for it. Mickey and Rose are tooled up with massive guns. Now, the massive guns that they had, like the one Rose had, was very similar to the massive gun she had in the Stolen Earth.
Those are fire extinguishers.
It's similar. I didn't say it was the same. Rewind. I said similar.
It's not a gun. It's a fire extinguisher.
Didn't look like a fire extinguisher. It looked like a gun.
Well, he just used it, the doctor.
He just used it as a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Did he? Well, I looked away because I was writing my notes. I didn't see that bit. Anyway.
And there just happens to be two, though. Did you notice one each for Rose and Mickey?
I did, yes.
Well, there might be a big fire.
Yes, indeed. Anyways, the doctor then returns to the now grown up Rinette. And he does what I consider to be slight perving over her because he was.
Only slight.
Ooh, you've grown, sort of thing.
What was he talking to?
She's only met him. This is what got me, right? He'd only met her twice for about 30 seconds,
within a 7-8 year period or whatever it was. Yet she really knew him really well, and she remembered it so clearly and vividly. That was, and then she snogs his face off. She really? Kisses. Yeah, she kisses him really.
That's kind of girl.
I mean, well, this is France and the 18th century. Did women really sort of jump on men after having met them twice? Weird. It was just really weird because, yeah. I mean, if you remember yourself, you know, when you were 7 and then you meet them again 4 weeks later and you don't meet them again until you're 20, you wouldn't have any familiarity really with a person you'd only met twice in 15 years, you know, exactly. As a child. Because I can't remember
it's
anybody I met.
It's a Muppet story.
Aren't it silly?
It's a Muppet story.
Anyway, she is Renette Poisson.
Croissant.
Or if you take
is
one
she
of the,
related to Jim the Fish?
No, but if you take one of the S's out, does that not say poison?
No. You didn't get what I said.
So is she related to Jim the Fish, you said?
Jim the Fish.
And you're right, I didn't get it at all. No, sorry.
Poisson.
Is that
it
a fish?
Means fish.
Oh, okay.
Marvellous. Mm.
Sorry, French people,
French.
I didn't pick up on that one.
sorry, we're uneducated in your ways.
Yes. I am the Doctor, and I just snogged Madame de Pompadour. He returns to the spaceship. It wasn't. He returns to the spaceship where a white stallion, I presume it was a stallion, didn't really look close enough, is standing.
Oh,
Mickey finds an eye on a flexi stalk thing and says, You looking at me? Which is a big hunk.
Taxi driver.
Yeah. Rose finds a human heart wired into some robotics, which we find out later is the.
Using, pretty gross.
They're using human parts to sort of operate parts of the ship, and that's why they're getting hot and smelling of roast dinner, which was a bit...
That reminds me of the forest in Time of Angels using a living thing to power a spaceship.
That's Stephen Moffat reusing his own idea, though, so he probably gets away with that.
Which, I guess we'll talk about it later, but he reuses the ideas from this story in The 11th Hour.
Yeah.
Oh, give me an example.
Well, Amy has to wait for the Doctor to come back, and it just happened to Renette then.
Right. Oh, yeah. True. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Mm. Anyway, the horse follows the Doctor, who soon returns to Renette.
I love that line.
Who is wearing, walking the garden with Guinevere from Merlin. And
oh, okay. I still need to watch that.
You do. He watches her from a distance. So, what was that all about?
Slightly perving.
Yeah, just standing in a bush looking at these women wandering around the garden. They find a mirror that also looks...
The horse, by the way, was trained to stop when he held up his hand. Although they had to film that, like he said, 572 times. Probably not that many, but quite a number of times.
Okay. It was 570.
Anyway, Robert, you were going to insert something that I'd forgotten.
Yeah, you know when they go out of the spaceship... the Doctor goes out of the spaceship into that garden. There was supposed to be a linking scene of that. They just sort of fudged it by showing the exterior shot of him sort of walking. There was supposed to be, they had a set sort of built apparently, and they were going to have a special effect of him sort of walking from there, but they sort of missed it out. So
also they were going to have, and they filmed a scene which they cut out where the Doctor was going to run into the owner of the horse who was looking for the horse. And it was to lead into why the Doctor decides to keep the horse later on.
Yeah.
Okay. Glad they didn't put that one in there. They find a mirror that also looks in on Renette's time, which I think there's a few little portals around the house, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah.
The spaceship.
Yeah. Rose compares Renette to the Duchess of Cornwall. That's Camilla. So I thought was quite interesting because obviously since 2006, I think, when this particular series was on, the Duchess of Cornwall, that's Camilla, has become a lot more popular with the British public. Then she was still considered slightly to be the woman who helped Prince Charles to cheat on Princess Diana. But now the British public are realising she's actually quite nice. So
is she?
I thought that she is very nice. Very nice lady. Another clockwork robot appears, and the Doctor appears with another fire extinguisher. It answers Renette's... Hang on, let me get to the end of my sentence.
answer all the robots answer Renette's orders. So whatever Renette says, they seem to do. So if she says leave, they leave and they sort of teleport out, don't they? And things like that. Yes, go on then. What have I missed?
Well, I don't know whether you may not have missed it yet, but no. The doctor names the horse Arthur. But yes. I like when Rose says, "You're not keeping the horse," yes. And the doctor says, "I let you keep Mickey."
That's very naughty. Very naughty, because that was one of my... I went to all the trouble of writing that down, and now you've said it.
So did I, though.
Right. I remembered it in my head.
the clock robots did not even... Yeah. Did not have the parts, so they use... Hang on, I'll read that line again. The clock robots did not have the parts, so they used the...
Crew.
Yeah, sorry, crew, thank you, because the word I wrote down was clue, and that really threw me, because it wasn't much of a clue. How did I end up writing clue down?
No clue.
L and the R are nowhere near each other on the keyboard. Anyway.
Do you know why they're clockwork?
Because Stephen Moffat thought it would be a novel idea for them to be clockwork. No, I don't. Go on.
Because if the ship were to lose power, they would continue to run.
Yeah.
Very good. Unless they squirted with fire extinguishers, of course.
And they looked quite good.
They did.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
Someone did cosplay of one at a recent convention.
I've seen pictures of that. It's at Gallifrey, wasn't it? Or Galley, I should say.
No, it was at an East Coast convention.
Oh, I'm sure I've seen pictures somewhere. Anyway, you're not keeping the horse. I'm not going to say it because I wrote it down. You're not keeping the horse. I'll let you keep Mickey. Now go, says the doctor. Mickey and Rose are caught... very quickly and rendered unconscious by robots, while the doctor reads Renette's mind.
It was kind of gross. Right now,
sound effect
sort of sound.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't as gross as some of the sound effects I have in Doctor Who. Anyway, she starts calling him Doctor, lonely little boy, Doctor Who. It's not just a secret, is it? Now, this is the start of Stephen Moffat's constant Doctor Who. Using the words Doctor Who in episodes of Doctor Who. He has a habit of doing this.
I hope that he doesn't actually give us a name, unless it's Bob.
No, I don't think he will. If he does, he'll get lynched.
I'll go with that.
Or John, even.
Hey,
Bob, yeah, great.
Bob.
They go off to dance while Rose and Mickey wake up. She talks of Dalek. Where do you stop interrupting? You can say if I've missed anything after I finish my blooming sentence. She talks of Daleks and tells them if they know how the Daleks refer to their designated driver. And then the tipsy doctor turns up singing, "I could have danced all night," and wearing sunglasses and the tie around his head. "Look what the cat dragged in, the oncoming storm." Laugh out loud moment there.
That scene is really good.
Really? It's just as if in the picking them up, he walks in, she goes, "Oh, look what the cat dragged in, the oncoming storm." She was just about to say, that. Do you know what they call him, the oncoming... I'll carry on then. What were you going to say then?
Well, I was just asking whether we're using Dantig as a euphemism like they were in the Empty Child Dr. Dantas one.
I think it was, yes. Because that's a Moffat I thought Kirby was referring to the scene where Rose is strapped to the table.
Oh, there, was she?
Which they said they put that in for the dads.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. In the commentary, they say that.
Okay.
I bet you Ben likes watching that scene.
I like watching that scene.
Anyway, the doctor then moves into a funny doctor mode because he walks around taking the mickey out of the robots by saying... There was a particular robot threatening Rose. Mr. Thickety Thick 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 Face from Thick Town from Thickania.
I'm glad you wrote that down.
The drunken time travel.
I'd love to know if you say, Roman, that you watched the Russian dubbed version of that, how they managed to translate Mr. Thick Thick Thickety Thick Face from Thick Town Thickania.
Just like that.
Was it?
As it said.
Is that okay? Did it make any sense?
No.
Completely. Anyway, right. That's right. They think that the 37-year-old brain of Madame de Pompadour, they need it for the command circuit of their ship. He pours wine over the robot's head and frees them.
Not wine. It wasn't wine.
It's not wine.
Oh no, what is it? Oil?
Yes, it's multi-grade anti-oil.
Oh, I thought it was wine. It was red and it was in a wine glass.
He says it's multi-grade anti-oil.
Yeah, but he might have been
pretending it was wine. That's why he's pretending.
Okay.
Anyway,
thank you for that. I've never
seen wine. You haven't been paying attention to what we've been pedanticing over.
Yes, but the trouble is, when I'm writing the notes,
it's you.
When I write notes, I miss the odd thing. That's what you're here for.
No. What we've been pedanticing over in the last 6 hours on Facebook.
Oh, okay. So you've been up all night then?
I did this particular pedant just before I went to bed, and I had a couple of Australians pedant right back at me because of this.
Mr. M isn't an Australian.
Oh, he's not? Okay.
He's from England.
Who is?
Okay.
Mr. M. He was commenting on a post Kirby made on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
He was just trying to agree with you, and you were wrong.
I was right, because he said it wasn't
yes,
mine.
Yes, okay. Digression over. The robots come back from life. Come back to life, sorry, if you can call it life, of course, and then teleport out. Rose visits Renette to warn her what will happen in 5 years' time. Renette hears Mickey calling out and runs into the spaceship. She hears a voice from the beginning of the story. This is a bit, obviously,
dressing Rose up in period costume for that scene. They decided it actually was better to have her in the blue jeans.
That's a shame. Anyway, yeah, so she walks into the spaceship and realises that that she can hear the voices from another window, another portal, can't she, that from the future, and decides she has to go back. The robots attack again. Renette calls for the doctor, as she did at the beginning of the episode, as the doctors come for her, but she's not scared of them when they get their little knives and forks out. They can't use the TARDIS because they're part of events now, the Doctor says, because Rose suggests that they jump in the TARDIS and just go there and sort
which is
out.
Just why? I mean, exactly. It's just the Stephen Moffat thing to make them not use the TARDIS.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense because they're always interfering with events in the TARDIS and they're always part of events when that happens. So that
everywhere they
sense.
Go, yeah.
Yeah. The Doctor jumps through the window on the White Stallion just to make it look superb. And this is a bit we come back to, Roman, that you remembered, wasn't it? The horse jumping through the window.
Yeah. That's the moment.
And if you watch that scene very carefully, you can see how they superimposed David Tennant's head on top of the actor.
Yeah. Yeah, it did work quite well, though, for the time. Mm.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Remember this.
So, Roman, have you seen did you get to see any of the Doctor Who Confidential programmes based around these?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. It's a shame they don't have that anymore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never mind. Where did I get up to? Dr. Johnson.
I would have watched that, but I ran out of time last night.
I watched it.
The Confidential?
Confidential,
I didn't. I didn't.
And all
You're
I
not
have
missing
is
much, though.
All I've got is the cut down ones that are on DVD.
Yeah, same here.
I think I have got the full length ones. They're on a spindle, a DVD spindle, in Alicia's room because I recorded them off the telly and she owns all those because I don't want her touching my box sets. Because she has a tendency to, when she's watched a DVD, instead of putting the DVD back in its case in the conventional fashion, she has a tendency to sling it across her bedroom.
Ooh. Right. Takes it, after her mother.
When she grows up, she'll throw PCs across the room.
Laptops.
Least said about that, the better. Anyway, this is my lover, the King of France. I am the Lord of Time.
Funny line.
Yes. But I think, was the Doctor then showing a sign of jealousy, maybe, on that particular line? I don't know. The time window is broken, so Mickey asks how the Doctor is going to get back. I have jumped a little bit here because there was a bit of a fight and then all the portals were closed down, so the Doctor was left behind and Mickey and Rose were left on the ship. Was that correct? And when Mickey asked the question, how's the Doctor going to get back, Rose looks really sad because she knows she's stuck with Mickey for eternity.
She squeezes the tear out.
I'm glad you said tear out then, because I was wondering what you were going to say then.
Did you call Kirby Ben?
No.
I thought you said Ben.
No, you're just missing Ben. It's just Glenn. Never mind.
Then.
It's then, over, then. Accept that. I'm not winding you up.
Yes, you are.
What was that to do with? I wrote that down for some reason. Oh, yes. That's the joke that I'm not winding you up joke.
And it wound me up. I didn't like it that much.
That's when he deactivated the robot saying, over.
Yeah, basically they can't have Renette at the age of 37, so they can't have a brain. So that's why he said it's over. And then, of course, he had to drop in the winding up joke.
They can't get to the spaceship anymore because the link's broken. So.
Indeed, yes.
Does anyone remember? I don't remember the exact movie they borrowed the Renette's dress from, but it was.
I remember the. It was with Helen Mirren, I think.
Sense and Sensibility. Oh.
No.
Oh.
Oh, I can't remember now. They did mention it though.
The Madness of King George.
Was it?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Oh, that's okay. It. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I didn't know that. That's quite an interesting, minorly interesting fact. Anyway, moving back to my notes. The Doctor and Renette share some romantic moment. The Doctor realised that he would trap himself if he saved her. He'd realised this, you see, because he quite loves her, you see. He seems to content to be stuck with Renette, but Renette leads him into the bedroom. You've completely ruined my innuendo moment, Kirby, by going but carry on anyway. You've done it now.
This was my pedant, just before the bedroom business.
Oh yeah.
You know, we've discussed many, many times about the Doctor, particularly the 11th Doctor. Excuse me.
Never mind, I was just quoting the goons. Many.
So am I. Anyway, the what?
Just get on with it.
The 11th Doctor and his aversion to wine. How he's always spitting it out.
Yes.
And we were trying to think of another time the Doctor drank wine with obvious enjoyment, and all anyone could remember was at the end of the Green Death, the third Doctor. And yet here, at 36 minutes and 20 seconds, the Doctor is enjoying his wine.
So say he's enjoying it, he's swallowing it.
He looks like he's enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe he was having a third Doctor moment, because the third Doctor loved guzzling wine.
Well, maybe every time you regenerate, your taste buds change.
Exactly.
It just so happens number three and number 10 like wine.
Yes.
Day of the Daleks was another one in which he drank wine.
Yeah,
he raids the cellar and he says, "Oh,
Robert, I just said he was having a third Doctor moment. That was the moment I was referring to.
We were talking about the Green Death.
About the Gorgonzola that as well.
Okay. Anyway, back to the paragraph I was trying to read out.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the Doctor realised that he realised he was going to trap himself. So Renette leads him to the bedroom because she's had her whole sort of house sort of rebuilt for some reason. Whole bedroom rebuilt. Whole bedroom moved in every detail.
No.
Yes.
It's bedroom house. You tell us.
All right.
The fireplace.
No, it says here.
Yes.
It says here the whole of her bedroom moved in every detail, including the fireplace.
She just knew it somehow.
Yes, thank you very much. He uses the sonic screwdriver, and the thing turns. Basically, thought he was going to fiddle with something and it turned. But
just referring to the fireplace.
Okay. Anyway, he says through the fireplace back to her to wait 2 minutes, and he will take her away and show her the stars. Now the thing is right. He's gone through, he's looked for the fireplace, he's had a conversation with her. So how come when he just steps away from the fireplace, it suddenly moves forward so far in time?
Because the two places were out of phase. They'd already established that with all the months between the first couple of...
So surely the Doctor may have noticed this and the other occasions that this happened to say to her, wait there, I'll be back in a minute, when he knows... full well as soon as he goes away from there.
Well,
and
he doesn't notice it when it happens again in the 11th hour.
Well, that's a bit silly, isn't it? Who wrote the 11th hour? Anyway.
Stephen Moffat. Mind you, that was a good episode, though.
Ah, can I just mention something while you were talking about...
No, it's going to be very difficult stopping you from mentioning it, so we might as well say yes. Go on.
Do you remember when he first arrived in Renette's bedroom at the beginning, he uses the sonic screwdriver to light a candle? And yeah. I was just thinking that's part of Moffat's sort of making the sonic screwdriver as a thing to do everything.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought of that one. Yes, well done.
A magic screwdriver.
But I can accept that because obviously if you vibrate the air near something at the right resonance, you would imagine it would enough friction would build up to light a candle.
I assume that when we get to the news later on, you will bring up the real sonic screwdriver.
Would I?
Oh, you didn't know? You didn't read about that? I thought everyone
knew
about
it.
No, bring it up later, Kirby.
To. Okay.
Bring it up later. Okay. I'm still in the middle of a paragraph.
I'll have to find it. Good grief.
He says through the phone. Da 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 da. Anyway, runs away to greet Rose and quickly returns to France to look for Renette. There is a letter from Renette. Who was the bloke that was standing? Is that the king or something?
That's the king.
Yeah.
That was the king.
Yeah. And. The letter. There is a letter for the doctor, and he sort of takes it out, and he's told that Renette's. Told that Renette's died, and you see the hearse sort of travelling away, and
43 years
old. King,
old.
The king asks. Only 2 years younger than me. The king asks the doctor what she's written, and he just puts the letter in his inside pocket. And
I was surprised that they did not have the king say what he reportedly did say when watching the coffin leave Versailles. I'm not going to try to say it in French because I can't. My wife hates French translation. Yes, the Marquesa won't have good weather for her journey.
Oh, okay. I suppose
it was raining.
I suppose it wasn't important enough. The doctor puts a letter away. I just said that bit. Right. Anyway, the doctor is sad, and Rose sees that. Mickey asks her for a tour of the TARDIS so the doctor can have a quiet moment to read his letter. And then, as the TARDIS dematerialises, a portrait of Renette is revealed, and on an external view of the spaceship, we see its name, SS Madame de Pompadour. That's basically it.
I thought that was a good end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very good end.
And the music there was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
the music in this entire episode is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah. It's available on the soundtrack, though.
I have been fairly critical of certain aspects of the story, but it is absolutely brilliant.
I'll wait until you ask me what I thought about it.
No, I'm going to ask Paul. Paul, what do you think of... what's the story called again?
Hang on. Girl in the Fireplace.
I've got my notes here somewhere. Yes, Girl in the Fireplace by Stephen Moffat.
Girl in the Fireplace? Fireplace, yeah.
Fireplace.
I think it's interesting series and...
Not series, it's episode.
Episode, yeah.
Oh, I do love pedantry amongst Russians. It's fantastic. I can't remember, Paul. I remember asking Roman, is this the episode that got you into Doctor Who?
Yeah, it did.
We got Paul as well.
Yes,
that's good then. So I say it can't be that bad, can it? Because it's like I say, it's just certain things that, having been exposed to Stephen Moffat for many years now, that
Moffat radiation.
Yeah, it's more Moffat repetitivity though. I'm actually considering. I don't know. Really, where to sum up with this story? It was quite good. I don't know what Ben would say. Right?
It's all right.
Go on then. There's got to be a few things I missed. Come on, chip in.
You know when Sophia Miles was reading out the letter
Sophia?
At the end?
Yes, it's Sophia.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I was surprised myself, but that's how
I know.
It doesn't matter. Never mind. When she was, we know who he's talking about, so we'll go for what is. Go on.
That was the last thing she actually did for the episode was read the letter, and she was finding herself very sad that she was leaving this team.
Oh.
So it sort of brought that to the letter.
Yeah.
It's fitting we're reviewing this now after the news that she could have been the next companion.
Yeah.
That whole controversy there.
Yeah, indeed.
But I mean, as I say, on the whole, I mean, it doesn't seem, if you look at all the Moffat stories, if you didn't know that Moffat had written this one, you wouldn't actually pin it down saying, oh, that's clearly a Moffat story.
And David Tennant, I think, brought it out in the commentary.
Except it's in the credits.
There were lots of sort of things like the eyeball and the heart, and they were saying, how do these sort of random things connect up? But he's saying it's sort of tied up at the end. So it's like Moffat likes doing, I don't know, you know, like with the Impossible Astronaut, how's the Doctor going to get out with this? Ah, there's a Tesla Lecture as the Doctor. He likes doing these sort of complicated things, sort of random stuff, and that sort of joins up at the end, you know, like in how the Doctor got out at the end of Wedding of River Song. The Doctor sort of, Moffat tends to do things like that, and that sort of aspect was in there.
Right, yeah, well, I suppose so, but I mean, it wasn't, for me, it was just an enjoyable little romp, and I really liked it. I mean, as I say, there are always things you can get very picky at with Moffat stories, but on this one, it was quite good fun.
Also, it was kind of a preview of how emotional the Doctor would get in Doomsday.
Yeah, and there was also, there was, having Mickey there did actually add to the fun of the story, I think. Because it's the like only real
when
story.
He down the corridor.
Yeah, but it's only real story that Mickey and Rose were able to have a proper adventure together.
I used to not like this story. Oh, hello, Clark.
Yeah. Hello, Clark.
Ignore it. Come on. You used to really.
I used to not like this story. My middle daughter, the geek, really. Love this one, and we used to watch it all the time. I just kind of rolled my eyes, and then when I watched it again yesterday, I discovered that I liked it a lot more, and I believe that was because I did notice the Moffat connections more. I don't know, it's been like 3 years since I last saw it, and I just liked it better. I'm not sure exactly why.
Well, I hadn't seen it for many years, really. Occasionally, one of the digital channels will have Doctor Who on, and it might have been playing in the background when Isabella or Alicia has been watching it, and I haven't really been sort of sat there watching it specifically to take it in, probably since it went out. So I did really enjoy it on that sort of score, although I wasn't entirely impressed with the child actress playing the child Renette. I didn't she would think she was a bit wooden.
Although she kind of looked like Sophia, but...
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what she said, except for with shorter hair.
No, I'm not too sure about that one.
Now, one thing I also noticed with this particular series, the entire year, that year, Several episodes were nominated for the Hugo Award. This is the one that won. I think my favorite story of the whole of that particular series is, of course, the one from last week because Sarah Jane. I think that we're going to see the same sort of thing this year. No, I'm talking about this past year and the nominations for the Hugo Award. Both the Doctor's Wife and The Girl Who Waited were nominated. And to me, I like The Doctor's Wife slightly better, but I believe that for the same reason The Girl Who Waited is going to win the Hugo Award, it's a fan thing that us pedantic, I love these connections with the whole business of almost 50 years of Doctor Who versus the emotional story. I think that's the reason why we've got these pairings of episodes being brought up for nomination.
Okay.
Can I just say, Kirby, I understand you really like The Doctor's Wife, but personally I went to watch it again recently and I thought the story was pretty weak, and it was just the little nods to fandom that carried me along last time I watched it.
But I do like nods to fandom, but I don't know, I'll have to I haven't watched that episode since it went out, and I'm looking forward to watching it again and reassessing. In fact, we're going to reassess all the stories, obviously, and our opinions may or may not change.
I've run down how the stories, if we keep going like this and are not interrupted by interviews with companions.
I don't intend to. Although we've got our second anniversary coming up in May,
we're not going to be able to get that far by the time if the stories start up again. September, October.
Okay. Well, I'm not really worried about that. We'll just see how we go. We'll just sort of ride the crest of a Doctor Who wave right there up to that point.
Is Kirby taking into account, though, the double episodes?
I don't know.
Because we do that as 1 week.
Okay. Well, we'll see
how
we go.
We could just have a break and review the newer episodes and then get back to reviewing the older episodes afterwards.
That is a very good point. But never mind.
At some point, why don't we do that to get us back and ready for this upcoming series?
I'll see what happens nearer the time. Meanwhile,
back in the TARDIS.
I've just checked the emails, and very late on, but just in the nick of time, we have some audio feedback.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast.
Yay!
Oh, 5,000 years, and humans are two galaxies away. Mickey's still a bit rubbish. there's a nice bit. You're not keeping the horse, says Rose. I let you keep Mickey, says the Doctor. Mickey again points out the Doctor's interest in other women to Rose, like he did last week when he found out about Sarah Jane. That's all. Sorry, in a rush this week. Bye for now.
It just sounded like he rushed it. Thank you, Ian. At least you got it in time for a good one.
Well done, Ian.
Right, so yeah, don't worry about the way things pan out between now and the new series, because we haven't got a date for the new series yet. I mean, I have to say, Paul, when Doctor Who is actually on in the UK, how long do you have to wait before you get to see it?
2006, I think, in Russian TV.
Yeah.
So I saw one episode of the Doctor Who, and I like it, and I started
So have you seen the most recent series yet? Have they had that on in Russia?
No. They ended broadcasting on series 3. In 2006 they broadcasted the series 1, and in the 2008 the series 1, 2 and 3. That's all.
So you have to watch Doctor Who via the internet?
Yes. Okay. Oh, by the way, I've missed one thing. On the other channel, they broadcasted the Series 4, but without the end of the series.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The
That's terrible.
It's because time.
It's about time. Okay. There are episodes of 65 minutes...
At
the end of 1 hour with a spoken
but at least you get to see them, you know, on the internet. Do you have DVDs?
Maybe.
There are DVDs in the shops.
Yeah,
but they too much cost, you know.
Oh, are they?
Do you understand?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Okay, right then. So I was going to try.
For me.
Who's going to do the news? I'll just see if I can get it up on my iPhone, because I can't risk trying to use a computer. So this should be interesting. unless someone else can get it up before me.
It's coming up.
I sent you a link to the real sonic screwdriver thing.
Thank you for that, Kirby. But I can't risk touching the computer and actually seeing what's on the other end of the link, unfortunately, for risk of cutting off the Skype conversation we're having at the
come
moment.
Come on now, I've got the news now.
Have you? Go on then, Robert.
Where do I start from?
Oh, I don't know. Probably about a week ago, but what was that? The 15th, 16th onwards.
Hold on. I've got to scroll down, it's being slow. Come on. Let's see. 19th. 18th. Oh, goodness me.
James Gray just responded.
Here we go. This just clips released from the Nightmare of Eden and the Demons on the classic Doctor Who YouTube channel. What the hell?
Death to the Daleks is being released on 18th of June, which I'm looking forward to. Getting towards the end of the pit, we releases. Let's see. People round up. They're just talking about Eve Miles wanting to do Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf or Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. She'd like to do that. Or play Dorothy.
As opposed to Dog on the Cold Stone Floor. And that's a Flanders and Swan quote. If anyone remembers Flanders and Swan.
No.
No.
Nope.
Not really much news, is there, Robert? Looking down the list, there's really not much there.
They've got Brian Blessed.
The team of research physicists at the University of Dundee in Scotland have created an ultrasound array that can effectively be used as a sonic screwdriver.
Cool.
And
can it really undo screws?
It can turn things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Turn the volume up.
11th Doctor Companion Magazine Volume 5 is out for last series, which I guess will cover from Gob Complex to the Doctor, Widow and the Wardrobe. I've got the issue before it. Quite interesting. And there's the art collectible, the Collectible Art Company. There's just officially licensed print features the 1987 costume designed by Ken True for the Seventh Doctor.
Excellent.
And it comes with a certificate of authenticity, and also for the Sixth Doctor original costume as well.
Excellent. Well, Kirby, you were saying that there's a convention you're going to be going to soon.
Oh, yes. Ooh. The very next month. Oh, yes. June. It's almost the end of April now, but...
be pedantic. It's not. It's got another week.
I feel a Star Trek tune coming on.
Da, 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 da,
you don't have to do that music, Reese, because I play it over anyway.
I don't care.
Nah. Go on, then.
Nah.
Anyway, there's a... I can't make it to the convention I went to last year because my oldest daughter graduates from high school that weekend, and I'm going to be...
That's not important. That's not important.
The convention I'm missing is the one where Caitlin Blackwood is going to be the guest. And unfortunately, Paul Casey had to pull out. He's going to be busy with filming as whatever monsters they're using this coming series.
Dalek's back on that.
Oh, watch Dalek.
I didn't know that.
But anyway, I can't actually go to any of these events, you know. We were going to go on holiday like we normally do in October. In fact, we'd booked it and paid a deposit, but Deb said, well, Alicia's doing some carnival stuff on the mainland, and she wants to do a bridal show that weekend, which cuts the holiday down to 4 days instead of a week. And I said, I'm not blooming travelling a 600 miles round trip just for 4 days holiday. So also we're thinking of getting this Macintosh to invest in for editing and stuff. So I said, well, she goes, why don't you go on a few day trips? So I thought, okay, we could go to the Harry Potter studios. I'd like to do that one.
Cool.
And the Doctor Who exhibition, experience in Cardiff, which we haven't seen. So I'm hoping that's going to come to fruition in October.
Oh, yeah. Lucky you.
Mm. This little convention I'm going to in June is in Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah.
That does sound like a song, actually.
Oklahoma!
And it's just a gathering of fans. I believe they've got 80 people registered, something like that, at least in the Facebook group that say that they're going to be attending. And no real guests. There's a science fiction writer and someone who used to do the inking for one of the Doctor Who comics. So
wow.
That's how big they're.
Hey, Kirby,
that's extraordinary.
Kirby, you're a guest to it then. You're representing the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter if nobody's ever heard of it. Anyway, moving on.
But I'll be driving
they can
down
get to
today,
here.
And it's just it'll be fun. The thing I'm looking forward to most is that they're going to have a full size police box. If you saw the pictures from last year, there was the top half of the top quarter of a police box.
This like from the Rebel Flesh, wasn't it?
Yeah. This is going to be a full-sized one. And there's going to be at least one Dalek and possibly two. Home-built ones from...
Photo ops for Kirby there?
Yes.
Go for it, Kirby.
And I managed to convince one of my Disney friends. You know, I've got that other hobby of the Disney stuff.
Is that Walt? Walt?
Huh?
Don't be
getting
silly.
Walt to come along.
No, I'm getting my friend Ed to come along.
Right.
Ed, Walt. Yeah.
All right then. Not eBay.
By the way, he's a listener to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
What a good lad, yes. What's his name? What's his name again?
Hello, Ed. Ed.
Ed.
Ed. Ed. Ed. Hey, can you...
Ed. Ed. Ed.
Anyway. Right, eBay. The item on eBay, which is the most expensive item, but not surprising nobody's put any bids against it, is that Dalek number plate. For £2,999.
Leave off that. That's ridiculous.
It's horrendous. At this day and age, people are going to pay nearly £3,000 for a number plate.
Can you make your own anyway?
It would be illegal. You could do that, but it would be illegal.
I mean, no. Just
my friend's name is Ed. Ed Owen.
Hello, Ed Owen. Right, anyway, what are you up to? That's what I was saying, Robert, I know what you're saying, just make the number plate up, but you wouldn't be able to put it on your car. I think the whole point of it is have a number plate and have it on your car and being legally allowed to drive around with it saying Dalek. Well, it doesn't actually say Dalek, to be honest. It actually says D-A-I-2-L-E-K. So there you go.
Right.
So you're paying $3,000 for something that doesn't actually really say Dalek. But
that's
the number one item with bids against it is listed at £301.99 plus £6 postage, and that's Doctor Who Vintage 1964 Cadet Sweets Dalek Cigarettes. It's a nice healthy article there. I'm not too sure of the legality.
No, they're the candy ones. They're not the real ones.
But still, they're called cigarettes, so that's there is an issue with that.
We did actually get a mention of fags in then, without bending it.
let's stick a bit further down the list there because I'm doing this on my phone and it doesn't. Oh, hang on, something there. Look, Doctor Who, Dennis Fitcher, Leela Dolmego, £202, a 19 bids against that. That's only got not 44 minutes left. There's a little Leela doll. No, I didn't.
Yeah, the price of those when they released were about £5.86 or something.
Yes. And now they're £202 plus £8 postage with 44 minutes and 8 seconds left. So
they are from 1978, so, you know.
Yeah, it just looks like a Barbie doll with dark hair and a Leela costume. It's not really like the what we'd expect now, the highly detailed Doctor Who figures that you can get, listeners, from whoone.co.uk.
What's that?
You broke up a little bit there.
Yeah.
Is that...
You did actually. I'm not joking. You broke up.
No, but it won't have broke up on my end, and that's the end of it's important because I'm recording.
Okay. Yeah. I'll shut up then.
Here we are. And the third item, VTV series, Erica Evans, screen... What's that got to do with Doctor Who?
I don't know.
Screen purse used bomb visitor star. I don't know what that was. It must be a TV series called V.
There's a TV series called V.
Yeah.
There were actually two of them.
Yes.
It's something to do with lizard blokes. Lizards dressed up as people land on Earth.
Eating rats or hamsters.
Something like that. Yeah. I used to like that series. The original version of that series.
Yeah, I've got it on DVD.
Never saw it.
I didn't watch it in the day, but I've got the DVD, so I've watched it now.
I did enjoy it at the time. And the last item is Seven's Doctor Who Cyberman Invasion Helmet Full Size Prop Replica. It's a bit like the thing that the Doctor finds in the museum in Dalek. And that's at £107 plus £20 postage. 6 bids for that one.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And that concludes.
Because they were pretty expensive when that released.
They're going to do quite well there, doing that with my phone. And
do our guests have any collections of Doctor Who stuff? Have they purchased any sonic screwdrivers or knitted scarves or anything?
Yeah, posters. Yeah, any Doctor Who merchandise, Roman?
Well, you said it just in time. I have a thought with my friend. It's not Paul, my other friend, by the way, from my town. We want to purchase the sonic screwdrivers, yes. Maybe. But, you know, I want to have another thing. I want the Doctor Who book.
Yeah.
It's Gallifrey Chronicles or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard of that one, yeah.
If it sounds right, if I said it right.
You have said it right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Mm. So I think, should I buy a sonic screwdriver or the book? I think I should buy a book.
Yeah, buy the book. Buy the book first, and then they get the sonic screwdriver later. Go on then, Paul.
Yeah. Paul?
Sonic screwdriver? I think I maybe buy a sonic screwdriver, yeah.
That's it. Well, if one of you gets the book and one of you gets the sonic screwdriver, you can sort of share. Although Paul's quite a long way away from Roman, so that might cause a few problems.
Who's that?
Sonic screwdriver.
By the way, what about the poster? I have a picture printed on the printer with a current Doctor Who logo.
Yeah. Oh, good. It's that's cool.
On my wall between two ships, not spaceships.
Have you seen any of the classic series? You know, the old stuff at all?
Yes. Me and Paul watched the classic together, but he's got sleep.
Which one did you watch?
It was Revelation of the Daleks.
Oh, Revelation, yeah. Yeah, it is a good one. That's Colin Baker's story.
Kind of strange.
It is strange. But the interesting thing about that, it's directed by Graham Harper, who is the only classic series director who has directed new Doctor Who.
Yeah, we said it in the last episode of The Voice of Gallifrey.
Yeah.
It was a review on the Rise of the Cybermen and the Age of Steel.
Yes.
He directed Androzani and the Revelation of the Daleks.
That's right. Which rather segues nicely into talking about your podcast, which can be found, listeners, on iTunes. If you happen to speak Russian and you want to listen to an excellent podcast, you would nearly need to listen to The Voice of Gallifrey, which, what is the Russian translation of The Voice of Gallifrey?
You want me to say it in Russian?
Yeah, the title of your podcast, but in Russian.
So Glass Paul Gallifreya. Did it. Yes, Paul.
Glass Gallifreya.
Yeah.
What's that noise?
Oh my god, it's cat.
It's a cat. Right. Hey, it's about time you got a cat.
It's Roman cat.
It's about time you had a cat on the podcast.
Silence will fool.
Silence. You know, I hate my cat, but I love her so much.
Well, it's the same with my dogs, who have been very quiet on the show this week for some obscure reason.
Yeah,
they're not normally this quiet, are they? Magic's normally flapping his ears. Or I can make him flap his ears. Hang on, I'll just go and give him a head like that. That'll make him flap his ears. Oh, I just tripped over. What have I just unplugged? Are you all still there?
Yes.
No, that didn't work. I just unplugged the... Oh, hang on, where's me... I tripped over the paddles. It's all right. It's only my earphones, not the microphone, so it's not a complete disaster.
Good.
Right, I can hear you again now. Sorry, I got the cable caught around my foot. Right, let's see if we can get the magic flap in his ears in the conventional 20 megapart. What are we called again?
Bite Dog Food Podcast.
That's the one. Magic, have a good old ear flap. Go on. You can do it.
Oh, my ears are going now.
Go on, flap those ears. Go on. Flap them. Come on.
Oh, now my dog.
That's right. It's all right. Star flapped hers instead. There we go. Not quite as dramatic as Magic's ear flapping.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. Yes. Excellent. So before we tie up the loose ends on this particular episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast, does anybody else have any further questions to ask our Russian friends?
Oh, go on.
There you go. That's Magic flapping his ears. Go on.
Sorry.
You want to learn Russian language? Some words and...
The trouble is, Paul, we have trouble struggling with the English language.
Поздороваться с русскими слушателями.
Yes, I must admit, somebody did mention to me that you'd mentioned us on one of your podcasts, and actually put the time reference, so I'd actually could actually go and listen to those parts of the show. So that was quite interesting, because obviously I didn't know what you were talking about, and then suddenly heard my name come up, and you could have been saying anything about me.
Yeah, what were you saying?
Is it complete and utter? No.
Yeah, probably was. Yes. So would you like to ask us any questions then, lads? Don't ask Robert, because you'll be here for hours. I'm only joking, Robert. Ooh. I'm only joking, Robert. Fire away. Reese is waiting with bated breath. What would you like to ask Reese? Don't growl, Magic.
Can I mention something then?
Yes, I don't see why
Mr.
not.
M, Mr. M wrote, I must send in some feedback.
Good. He must have.
Check,
check
your email
late.
Again.
Yeah, well, I'll do it. Phone at the ready. Shut up, Magic. But so, yeah, that's sort of rather... unless anybody's got any further things to add...
Well, I've got to add that this is the last episode I'm on permanently, because I'll be going to drama school again.
Oh, yeah. What time did you finish drama school, though?
I don't know, because the clocks have changed and I have to figure that out. We'll see what happens next week, and I'll probably be on for about 5 minutes.
So does Sandro do what you just said, drama school?
No.
Good, we'll have him on instead, then.
Oh, thanks.
Well, that'll teach you.
That's the doctor for you. He gets someone new and replaces you. Gets exactly.
That'll learn you.
I said to Alicia this morning, I said, did you want to do a farewell episode? She said, do you want a slap in the face? I said, we're never on the programme. Well, I'm busy. You can record now if you want to. It's bedtime. So, yeah, I mean, she will be back at some point, listeners. Yes, yeah. The Alicia fans, she will be back at some point. I've asked her if she wants to go. She completely refuses. I don't know why. I've even suggested getting another female presenter on the show to replace her. She just won't have it. Yeah. She's just hanging around like a funny smell.
Bad smell.
Anyway, thank you, Paul and Roman, for coming on the show this week. It's been absolutely lovely having you on.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, yeah. It's a great honour to be here and talking with you.
It's an honour having you on. It's been really interesting to hear about fandom in sort of the less sort of understood parts of the world, as far as, you know. I have heard where it's quite popular in Germany and France, as there are some podcasts from those areas as well.
Yep, good to hear it taking off around the world.
It is. Hmm. And long may you continue watching Doctor Who. There's some good Big Finish stuff. You ever listen to any Big Finish stuff? Big Finish audios?
I was trying, but, you know... I can say no.
No, I can say finding time sometimes is a bit awkward. When you're listening to podcasts, producing podcasts, listening to things like Big Finish, it's quite difficult to fit in sometimes. But especially when you're the only one who actually wants to listen to it in the family. So that's the only trouble with me. The only other family members that like Doctor Who...
Oh, no.
Right, you'll have to work on that one, like we all have to work on it. It just doesn't
of
work.
Of course. Well, we will.
Well, Reese, I'm sorry you won't be on next week. I'm quite disappointed, actually. Maybe Ben will be back next week. I don't know. Kirby, are you back next week?
Of course. If you'll have me.
Don't be so silly.
No, they won't.
Robert, are you doing any drama lessons next week?
Only if you want me to.
Okay, well, I'll probably be here next week, as long as my wife doesn't find a way of stopping me recording. She did try very hard this week to stop me, and I know if I don't get on with a bit of wedding video editing, I will be in deep trouble, so I better get on and make dogs dinners and start doing some proper work. Thank you all for being on. Before we go, Robert, yes?
Okay, this is for Ben, because as Ben listens to every podcast... Hello, yeah, Ben.
Of course he does.
I mean, hello, Ben.
How are we managing to wrap this up in only an hour and a half?
Did that last week.
Ben's not here.
No.
Mm. Yes, we did.
I had to leave before we were done last week.
Yeah.
Which means we've gone on for 2 hours.
What will probably happen is I'll get down to the editing and realise I've completely forgotten the whole section of the show. But never mind, we'll have to cover that next week.
We review Girl in the Fireplace, don't we? Yes.
All right, what we haven't said is what episodes we're watching next week.
Ah.
Which episodes?
I'll give you a clue. It's got Cybermen in it.
Attack of the Cybermen.
I can't remember the names of the episodes, to tell you the truth.
Closing Time.
Is it Age of Steel and
Rise of the Cybermen? That's
the one. Rise of the Cybermen and Age of Steel. That's it. Yes. Next week, and it's two episodes in one, so it'll probably be a longer show next week. Until then, as long as nobody's got anything else to add, thank you all for being on the show this week, especially Paul and Roman for expanding our Doctor Who horizons.
Yeah. Thank you.
And everybody, learn really Russian. Great. Learn Russian and listen to the Voice of Gallifrey podcast. Available on iTunes.
I agree.
Okay. Until next week.
Anyway.
Pardon? What? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Listen to it anyway.
Listen to it anyway. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production. Is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.